I didn't make new handouts. I apologize. So we have very little left. No, I did not. I just slipped my mind. So we don't have that much left. The next sim is a short. The next sim would be very good. The next sim is the sim of the Yoledes. It's one. It's a short sim. It would be good to do today to be able to see. Let's see. We'll go through it. We'll see how much time we have. Okay, we're up to halacha vav. Halacha vav is misha achozoy dam mekizin also miyad. A person has high blood pressure. Now we don't do this today. I don't know, Dr. Fruchten, you may probably very more familiar with this. In ancient times, it was extremely common to let blood. What? Simin tzadi beis halacha vav. Simin tzadi beis halacha vav is the last page of the handouts on page resh yud. The last page, unless the last page got ripped off by mistake. Page resh yud. Mi shachos edam, a person has high blood pressure or has.
It was done for a whole bunch of things.
For many things. Is it done today? Is it done today at all?
Yeah, they started. Yeah, I know. Well,
he was doing polycythemia if you have too high blood count.
Yeah, don't they use leadrum?
Okay, it's very common. If you go to a barber, in ancient time, as is well known, that a barber did two things. When you go for a haircut, they cut your hair. And they let blood.
Well, that's why the barber pole had the
right. Why that symbol outside a barber shop, that round thing that's spinning, that's a symbol of bloodletting. Go look it up on Google. They actually can go on. You can go on eBay. You can buy these really ancient those things that.
The barbers also used to be the dentists.
Right. That I didn't see. Okay. I saw the barber was the
blue. That's the blue.
That's the blue. Plug the teeth. I didn't see that, but a barber, it was well known that a barber also performed bloodletting. And the symbol that is used today, is still, that's the symbol really for bloodletting. I don't know why it has to do with bloodletting, but that's what it is. So here we have a situation where the doctor says that you're in a situation where you must let blood. So is one permitted to do this on Shabbos? Mi shachos edam makim. So miyod, it can be done on Shabbos. This is beginning of sakana. According to halacha, this is a sakana. It can be done. It's not a halacha deraisa. Letting blood, you're being a chayvel. You're making a wound. You're letting out blood, but you're not removing the blood. This goes back to what we discussed yesterday. There's a question: if you're removing blood, normally to do a malacha, it has to be malacha shetzricha legufa. I need the blood. I need the blood to die. The halacha deraisa of chayvel in the Torah is I need the blood for a die. To dye wool, whatever it is. Here, human blood, you don't need the blood for anything. You just want to remove the blood because the person is not well. But you're doing it for a purpose. So is chayvel ba'adam, in order to remove the blood for a positive effect, is that a melacha deraisa or derabbanan? But we learned yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, it's machlekes rishonim. Some say yes, some say not. I think halacha l'maaseh we pasken, it's only derabbanan. You're not removing the blood for its own sake. You're removing the blood because you want to improve the person's condition. So the blue removal blood is something that's indirect. It's malacha shein tzricha legufa, so it's only midrabbanan, and therefore, when a person is in the matzav on Shabbos, so this needs to be done, it can indeed be done.
And the Rachmana
list on a person is already holding by a transfusion. That's certainly in pikuach nefesh. It's mut. He's saying you want to let blood. You want to give blood on Shabbos. He's making a very good point. Let's say you want to give blood on Shabbos and it's not pikuach. There's a blood drive. There's a blood drive. Mishum Eva in the community. The Red Cross comes and sets up shop. You walk home from shul and they ask you, sir, could you please be so kind? On your way home from shul, sit down there for 20 minutes and give a pint of blood for. So you'll say, so can you do it? Making a very good point. Can you do it? So here it's even worse, because here you're removing the blood for the blood itself. So l'chari, you should not be allowed to give blood on Shabbos. I'm assuming that to be pashut. Unless you're giving the blood for a specific person, for a person, you need. That's a whole different story. Okay, it's not even until they allow you to do that today. They let you do that today still. They give blood for a person. They do it today. Yeah, a lot of things have changed because there are a lot of laws. First of all, even you give blood today, the blood is not used immediately because it has to go through a long series of tests, AIDS, and all these other things. And then they have a lot of rules. A lot of things have changed. I don't know. I don't know the problem.
Here's a different question. I know when I had my knees replaced, so prior to that...
You give your own blood.
I had to give my own blood.
Blood for yourself, yeah. Yeah.
Can you do that on
Shabbos? Shabbos. So it doesn't have to be done unless it's an emergency. Unless it's not an emergency. They can take someone else's blood also. It's not mukhach. I don't know.
No, what they do is they take your own blood And then there's a whole...
They dry it, and they...
No, they put it in...
They freeze it.
They put it in the centrifuge, and then they re-inject it with the... It speeds the healing.
Interesting. I don't know. I don't know.
What are you doing? You're not doing anything.
Choyvel, choyvel, choyvel ba'atzmo. And if you're not doing it, the guy is doing a misayayas, by taking a haircut. Yeah. You're by putting, by sitting down in a chair, or by moving your body in a certain way, you mean misayayah. Right. So even though in a chanami, it's not the right. So the, you're not taking the blood yourself. If someone is doing it for you, a non-Jew, it's not the raisa, but it's definitely, but it's still a misayayah, and it's a amir liakum, and it's also, there's no question, it's also.
They tell you, there's no amir liakum either.
They tell you to sit down.
Yeah,
leaving. They're doing malacha. Okay, I don't know. I don't know the.
They're moving yourself. What Hakim Rosho means
with the payas harosh.
That's why it's
okay. I don't know the answer. I don't know.
The malchus, you get, they take your blood anyway.
Okay, let's see. But it says in chol sheik is dam v'nitzdanim. Now, new next thing. Okay, let's say the person they tell me they have to take blood. They take blood like today. You take your blood today. What do they tell you? Don't leave. You can't leave for half an hour, 20 minutes. Sit down and eat something. You must drink, and they don't let you out of there. It's part of the deal because it's sakana. So let's say the person indeed, when it's standing, gets cold. He lets blood, he gets cold. So now he says, yeah, I want you to turn up the heat. Oh, turning up the heat is Chil Shabbos. So more Chil Shabbos. One Chil Shabbos leads to another Chil Shabbos. Are you allowed to do this? So of course. The Nitzdanein Oysiloy Medural Hischame Mafil Hischamas, you can make a fire. Mamash a fire, Eish Derais, not dealing with the Rabbanans. Letting blood, you can probably make 10 arguments to show that letting blood is not a deraisa. Letting blood on Shabbos is only midrabban. The guy is doing it. You know, it's whatever it is, all the different reasons. But when it comes to making a fire, nothing to talk about. So that's deraisa. And what about in the summertime? It's 100 degrees outside, and you want it to be 101 degrees inside. So can you make a fire? The answer is yes, because a person, after letting blood, and it's cold, is begeder sakonas nefoshos. And you're allowed to be mechalel Shabbos. Okay, halacha. That's a very thing which we come across over and over. That a kol choylim eitzel tzimul pachim. Everyone is called a choyla when it comes to cold and heat. And you're always going to find leniencies with regard to getting a guy or doing it yourself in the derech shinui of turning up the heat or turning on the air conditioner. This is something which is exceptional to the laws of in the kulos of Shabbos. This always comes out. This concept. Halacha of Zayin. Hachoshesh b'shtei enaf. The eyes. Oy shahayib yachas mim tzir shayu shayus. Or there is some mucus that is flowing out of the eye. Oy shahayidam shayus shayus. Oy shah davar shu sakana la'ayin. Blood chashom is coming out of the eye. It goes without saying the eye is the window to the soul. The eye has a different status in halacha. You can be mechal Shabbos. Mechalin alav es ha-shabbos. Next. Halacha ches. Hachoyle shayesh b'y sakana shtoch levosar. New case. He needs this is a beautiful sugya. And he needs to eat meat, and there is no kosher meat, but there is non-kosher. We can go into the non-kosher store and buy some non-kosher meat. So why should we be mechal Shabbos to do shchita when we have in front of us non-kosher meat? Melicha. So melicha shals melicha the rabbanon by oichel. It's luchar. It's only the rabbanon. Okay, let's see what it says.
You can roast it.
Okay, this is an amazing. The roasting is also you have to roast. You have to do the fire. Extra fire for the roasting to take out the dam. Let's see. So here's an incredible chiddush, unbelievable idea. This has many applications in halacha across the board. We have here non kosher meat. Doesn't matter. Shaychtin avuro, you're allowed to take a living animal and slaughter the animal and violate the malacha deraisa of shchita. That's malacha deraisa. And then do kasher the meat, whatever requires with the malicha, do kasher with malicha, be in the rabbanon, and so on and so forth. The ein machil no yisoy baser aser. Why? Mishum, here's the yisoy dechayshinon. Yisrael is kodesh. Jews are very holy people. And when you tell them to eat non kosher meat, the thought of eating non-kosher meat can cause them to become lidei sakana. His condition can worsen very quickly. Dechayshinon shema kishe yisvadea. loy shechiloy oisei baser aser yakut spo. When he discovers that they fed him non kosher meat, will become detestable in his eyes, and he will come to a greater sakana. Chazal, over and over, we learn this concept. They take into consideration your mental state. Mental state has an enormous amount of weight in halacha with regard to chil Shabbos for chayla on Shabbos. As we learned yesterday and the day before, if a relative, chayla calls for a relative, the relative is allowed to be mechal Shabbos to come to the chayla. Unbelievable halacha. And here's another example. Mental state, you can feed them the non-kosher meat, it's just as good. Just as good, but the fact that it's not kosher is enough to cause him to come lidei tsar, lidei to the matzav of stress, and that can affect his health. For example, a child doesn't know the difference, or the person is in a coma, doesn't know what's going on. Let's look at the Sha'adim Mitzionim Halach. Not only can you do this malicha, kedinoi. The chain calls about God's marsham, b'shem sefer mogen avos. The yesh l'mloy chabos shloy la shloy yavra chol b'chol kizayis to kizayis. So you should not have an aver. Every kizayis is another eating is the dam. The chayif every kizayis of dam is a separate chayif. V'ayin mogen avram b'mogadim v'ayin b'shud avin tzedek the inef shel l'mloy al yedei akum b'li ichor nochon lasos al yado. If there's no delay, it's not going to make a difference. Of course, then you should have the goy. A goy can't do shchita. A goy is when it comes to shchita, you have no choice. The Jew must do shchita. The guy is not neman to do shchita. The guy may do drisa. He may press down a little bit too hard. Can an isha do shchita? B'diavad yes. Can a kohen do shchita? B'diavad yes. Goy lo amin al gabav. But a guy, no such thing. There's no trust when it comes to a guy. So a guy, you have no choice. You have to have. But when it comes to melicha does not need to be. In fact, that's what today it's not done by Jews. Go to the slaughterhouse. Go to Empire. The melicha is not done by Jews. The melicha is done by goyim. They do the melicha here also.
They do the
Glatmart. Nikor and Malicha. Nikor, do they do by Goyim? Nikor do by Goyim? I can't imagine.
No, Ahmad buys most of his meat already
from Trush
and made.
You're talking to the master here.
You're talking to the master. He sold them, but he bought.
They get a lot
well,
from
as
truth.
He got closer to Pesach, he didn't buy any meat that wasn't kosher made because he didn't have time to make kosher himself. When it's a slow season, he bought meat direct, so he had the time. The butchers didn't have enough.
Truth doesn't kosher.
No, but he bought it from places who made it kosher for him. I can tell you.
I was there with the kosher.
All right.
Fine.
Nikor.
Doesn't mean that he doesn't always have. He doesn't have enough time to kosher. He buys half the veal this way and half the veal.
Is there any such thing as nikor by a guy? What's halakha? Nikor by a guy?
No, they don't do it.
They don't do it. A guy. No such thing.
They do nikor at gear altogether?
No, not gid. Not the gid. The regular chela. Forget about the gid. In Eretz Yisrael, they do nikur hagid.
I know.
In Eretz Yisrael. So that for sure they don't do by a guy. I would assume they don't do by a guy. What?
No, sir.
You need nemanas. You need nemanas. It's very complicated. It could be it's a shulchan aruch. It could be it's a fesh yodeya. That's right.
Let's go back to this halacha.
Yes.
Today we don't have this problem about because you're not going to shech. You're not going to bring it out of the house.
Okay.
But let's say you need meat
to buy,
and you have to send out a messenger to pick up kosher.
So you go for kosher. That's right. Anything you do, you halal shabbos.
Unless you're going to send it to a Jewish house.
Well, yeah, you have to have simonim in a chanami.
Yeah.
So then you can do it. Of course, if you go and you send a guy to the store, and the guy go to the shop right and buy me Empire chicken.
To a Jewish house.
What?
So then the Jew has to come this out and carry
he needs shimor, because Basar Shin is Salim and Ayin. And then the Jew is going to have Tir Fadas, same exact thing in a Hanami. Of course. All the halach is trying to.
Interesting because it emphasizes how important
mental.
To get kosher food at a hospital.
Yeah.
No, you have to go and do things to it.
Someone in the coma.
That's right.
For him, you don't share whatever happens
to him. That's right. That's right. Absolutely. You want a hashkacha that everyone is satisfied with because you'll always have.
What's going on?
He wasn't here when you made the announcement.
I know.
Okay, another time. Okay, okay.
Speak loud so we can all hear.
Okay, let's go further. Let us go further. So we have here this idea of salting. When it comes to melicha, melicha can be, should be done through a non-Jew because melicha is an iser derabanan. It's ibut. When you salt meat to remove the dam, it's an iser derabanan of ibut. It's not the oiraisa because it's oichel. Ibut derais only when it comes to leather, hides, tannery, but when it comes to food, it's the rabbanan. It resembles, it should not be done, but when you have no choice, it can be done. Because there is no issue whatsoever of, there is no issue of a melicha done by a guy. Halacha test. Yeah.
The halacha of giving him meat, is that because the doctor will tell you that he needs it, or let's say the guy says, I want meat.
So we learned yesterday, if the person says, I feel I need it for my health, you're allowed to do it. We learned yesterday that if he says, I need it for my health, I need it for my condition, if I don't eat meat, I'm going to die, yes, you can do it. But if he says, the doctor says, we learned the halachas yesterday, if the doctor says that eating meat is going to cause you harm, it's going to cause you harm, even though it's not, but I need it to, when he's contradicted by a doctor that says it's harmful, then we listen to the doctor. If the doctor says, it doesn't make a difference, you don't need meat, and if you don't need meat, nothing's going to happen to you, you'll be just the same. And he says, no, I'm telling you, if I don't have a piece of meat, I'm going to die, I feel I'm weak, and I feel meat will go and save my life, then you listen to him, even if the doctor says it's not going to make a difference. The only time that we override his request is when the doctor says that his request is harmful to his health. If we have two doctors, and one says it should, one says we machmir, we do with the dying, we go lechum, and we do it. If one doctor says it should be done, okay, let's go for the halacha test. Hamavashel b'Shabbos b'Shvilcha. Now we're coming into another delicate issue, and that is bishul akum. Okay, so who's doing the cooking? If a guy cooks, you got a big problem. Anything that cannot be eaten when it's raw. Go into a whole sugya of potato chips and all the various, the sugya of vishalakum, whatever they may, but meat, yeah, certainly, there's no question about it. But there's no question about it when it comes to meat. Meat is certainly subject to the rules of bishul akum, and the goy has cooked, so the goy is not going to do, the Jews and do the cooking. It's a very important halacha. A Jew may not eat from the food that was cooked on behalf of a guy.
For the chayla.
Now this could be nogea halacha. I don't know if it is nogea, but it's an interesting idea. They be in a hospital, and there's a family sitting with the patient, and they bring food. They bring good food from the kitchen, kosher food for the kitchen. And the food was cooked on Shabbos. It was cooked on Shabbos. I mean, obviously there's no Shalom B'Shalakim, there's a Hechsher, there's Hashgacha, but it was Chil Shabbos was done in order that this food can be prepared for the Choyla. Now, the Chil Shabbos was done by a guy, but it was done by a guy for a Jew. And now the patient, more often than not, is not eating the food. Right? How often have we seen that in the hospital? They bring
up the shiloh also. Let's say someone brings guy brings food outside the tchum.
Yes. Yeah, so did he bring it for you? In Echnami.
If he brought it for you.
If he brought it for the after, wait until Shabbos or Bechdei Shiyasa.
What if he only brings it? He did not.
If it's chutz litchum, it cannot be done. No, chutz litchum is a melacha deraisa. Going past the Yudbeis Mill is deraisa.
To the food. The food. Nothing was done to the food.
It came chutz litchum.
But the food was brought. Only arrived here.
That doesn't make any.
It doesn't matter.
No.
You have to still wait the amount of time that it would take to bring it after Shabbos. I'm not mistaken, that's what we learned.
So.
You have to go back. You have to go back in the kitchen to see what it says.
I don't think so. If he doesn't belong to
the food itself, certainly.
But if he doesn't do it,
if I remember correctly, it doesn't make a difference. Yeah, maybe we have to. Okay, could be. You could be right.
How do the hotels serve Shabbos?
How do the hotels? Which hotels?
Don't ask. Like I used to go to grocery.
No, so the same way you do it before. Same way you.
Shabbos morning, they would make eggs.
Today, the standards.
They said that they make, let's say, 200 scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
And, 100 fried eggs, and if they use it up,
they would have had a lot of coolers.
But
they don't
need to do that many.
Today, there are different standards. I don't think today.
I can tell you for a fact that Rabbi Katzel will show them for why you want to eat.
they offered him the job to be a mashgiach.
Yeah.
To be in Liberty for Shabbos with my brother-in-law. He wore, all of a sudden, all, I was happened to be at my brother-in-law on Shabbos in Liberty. And so it was the first week Rabbi Katz from YU took the job to be a mashgiach. The rabbis were in Grossinger's. And he took over for whoever. And all of a sudden, lunchtime, like around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, there was a knock on my brother-in-law's door. My brother-in-law had him for a rabbi, and he knew he was there. And he came in, and he said, good Shabbos. And he said, I'm here to eat lunch. He said, why are you here? You know, you have lunch in groceries. He said, he quit. He said, he realized he couldn't eat the food. So he was the Rabbi Maksha, and he left. Because he said, the bishul on Shabbos was, you know, they told him this is what they do, and until he came to the first Shabbos, what they had done previously, he says he wouldn't hold from that. And they gave him, you know, they told him you could do this, and he said, no, you can't. And he came to us to eat lunch.
Okay, it's a serious, a guy is not allowed to do a malacha for a Jew on Shabbos. That's a simple halacha. The Amir La'akum is Asr. If a guy does it for a Jew, specifically for a Jew, it's Ferish Hashem Shulchan Aruch, it's Asr. You're not allowed. So here we have a Chayla. And I don't know the details, but this can be interesting. Shayla, you go to a hospital and you're staying over with a patient in the hospital over Shabbos. And they bring for the patient a tray of food. The doctor says, we're upgrading you to a solid diet, to a diet of food. And they bring, and the Chayla says, I don't want to eat this food. And the visitor is there, and the visitor is starving. Also, I'll eat it. If you're not going to eat the roll, the roll is not a crab, but you're not going to eat this thing, so let me already eat it. So I'm just coming to be ma'or. Is it really permitted for a patient, a visitor, to eat the food of the patient in the hospital on Shabbos when melacha was done on behalf of the chayla? The melacha, there's no question, can be done for the chayla, because the chayla is the chayla. But here it says very clearly, hamavashal b'Shabbos b'shvil chayla. They're doing things. It's not necessarily doing bishul, because in the hospital we have a hashkacha, the kosher food, so there's nothing, it just has to be warmed up. Everything already probably was cooked way before Shabbos, that's part of the hashkacha. But the other melacha has been done. They turned on the oven to warm it up. They prepared, they did things to get it ready for the chayla, and now the Yisrael wants to, a visitor, a guest wants to partake. It says here, asur lebari, for a healthy person, la'achle b'Shabbos. That's a very interesting thing.
Even at home. So if you have a sick person at home,
and you have an aid,
more food, you're not making issue. You're making a whole quart of spaghetti, let's say.
For a chayla. And is left over with someone else. So since the malacha was done for the chayla, it says it's forbidden. Also, labari la'achle b'Shabbos. Avol lemotzei Shabbos. It goes without saying it was not done lahachis. It was not done there. So of course, lemotzei Shabbos mutar miyad. You don't even have to wait b'chdei sheyei asu. It can be done immediately. Gam labari in bishlo yishol. I just points out, but just make sure there's no bishalakum. Who did the cooking here? And this is an extreme case. This is in a case where you don't have a non-Jew to help you out. So who's doing the Melechil Shabbos? A Yisrael. So there's no problem. It's an interesting halacha. It's not called Bishalakum. When a Jew cooks on Shabbos in a permissible way, so it's not Bishalakum. When I might ask him, when Shabbos is over, a Yisrael can eat from that cooking. But if the food has been cooked on Shabbos for a Yisrael by a non-Jew, so it's Bishalakum. So when it's a Shabbos, you can't eat the food for another reason because it's Bishalakum. Obviously, going to case with the
on Shabbos itself.
On Shabbos, of course not.
If the Akum cooks the food for the Chayla,
yeah,
and he cooks extra food,
that's exactly what it says. So you can't do it.
He says
for the Chayla, you want extra food. The Chayla, the whole cooking.
It's not a Jew cooking.
And no, it doesn't make a difference. It's both. The last part, it's clear that it doesn't make a difference. The food was done. The guy did it for a Jew. The malacha was done. There was a violation. A guy cannot do something specifically for a Jew on Shabbos. That's clear. It's being done for a chayla. It's being done for a chayla either through a Yisrael or through an Akam.
The whole hatter they used to have of using electricity is because you're doing it for a chayla.
We're saying, what's a chayla? What's the chayla? Using electricity?
Electricity... When? The Jew is being Mechal Shabbos to make electricity, and you need electricity for all the hospitals. and there's extra electricity. And there's
the goyim are doing for themselves.
The Jews we're talking about.
In Eretz Yisrael, you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not familiar. Eretz Yisrael is very, very complicated. You're right. It's very, very complicated. And that's why there are so many. Every other day we hear a new story about a generator and about this and about that and computers and goyim. You're right. It's a very. It's Eretz Yisrael is a very. It's everything is much more complicated. Yeah.
Two questions. One, test here is not talking about cholish yesh b'sakana.
It is
any kind of a cholish.
No, we're dealing with a cholish yesh b'sakana. The yilari mechal shabbos.
In ches, he's very specific. Cholish yesh b'sakana.
We're continuing. No, it's posh that we're continuing a cholish. The whole simon is a cholish yesh b'sakana. Go back to the beginning of the simon. This simon begins the laws of cholish din cholish yesh b'sakana. The previous sim was a choyel l'shem b'sakana. We're dealing with a situation where you're allowed to cook. For a choyel l'shem b'sakana, you're not allowed to cook. It's unheard of.
Okay.
Just because a person has a headache doesn't mean you can go and you can turn on the fire. You can cook. A choyel l'sheyesh b'sakana. We're allowing cooking is permitted, and we have food. The choyel decides I don't want to eat the food. Well, choyel there's extra food. I don't want. So is a regular a visitor allowed to eat the food? The answer is no. Chil Shabbos was done. It's only done for one person for the choyel. No one is allowed to benefit. The only leniency is that when Shabbos over, you don't have to wait b'chdei she ye asu. It can be done. It can be eaten immediately. Period.
You spoke again the opinion of the guy cooks it. What the allowances is? You know, obviously you're the visitor. For example, you're not allowed to eat it on Shabbos. Obviously. After Shabbos, if the guy cooked it, it's not mutter.
It's not mutter because it's bishalakum. Are you allowed to eat food that was cooked? You go to a kosher restaurant. All the ingredients are kosher, and the one who turned on the pot light is the guy. The guy is the one who turned on the fire. Are you allowed? And all the ingredients are mahadrin min mahadrin, kihila kashrus, badatz, edach aredus, the best pas, lubavitch, you name it. Every hashkacha gave their stamp of approval. Even munkach gave a stamp of approval on the food. But the guy turned on the fire. Are you allowed to eat it? Asr. Asr, asr. Bishalakum is asr.
Even after kashrus the pot.
That's a shiloh. If the kashrus pot, machlekes. If the kashrus pot, it's us. So it's bishalakum. So that's another issue. So the choyle is choyle sheish b'sakana. So we even learned that lechatchila, if the Jew is going to have tiruf hadas, a goy cook my food, then the Jew's allowed to cook the food. In order, he shouldn't be in the frame of mind of tiruf. But let's say he's shenitra fadaita, like he's in a coma, or he's not even aware, he's not in a frame of mind where it makes a difference. Where we learned in the previous sermon, when you're not in a frame of mind where it makes a difference, it's done by a Jew, by a non-Jew, then you allow lechatchila, you should lechatchila feed him non-kosher food. Non-kosher food, you don't feed him kosher food when it doesn't make a difference to him. He doesn't know what's going on. So here's a situation, he doesn't know what's going on. Your guy is cooking for him on Shabbos. Then it's off limits to a Jew forever because of the prohibition of Bishul Akum. Bishul Akum is a very serious issue. In every restaurant, you have to have the pyre light, mashkiach, because the guy can't turn on the pyre light. I remember I was in camp once, so the guy, I don't know what's going on, I was in camp, this goes back 100 years, so the guy comes running into me, and he says to me, "Can you come into the kitchen, please?" And he shows me, he goes to the commercial ovens, and he's cooking over here for a crowd of, I don't know, 200-300 people, Kim Morris, at least, and he tells me, "Oh, here, turn on, this is what you do, you turn on like this, so I did, I turn on all the flames. Okay, fine, I didn't even know what was going on. Then we're sitting there by lunch, 2-3 hours later, and the mashkiach walks in, going crazy. Who turned on? Did anyone here turn on the fire? Anyone? Because he knew that he was in a... Because here you have 300 people. Yeah. How do you know?
He expected there.
So he was going like, what in the world's going on over here? This guy, he cooked, and I wasn't here. He turned on the fire. The fire get on. And he was livid. Because he had the achrayis of the guy wasn't supposed to start cooking until he came.
So you did something good.
I did good, right? I saved the day.
You saved.
I didn't save the day. The guy saved the day. The guy wasn't authorized to start cooking until he showed up. So and he, I don't know what he was delayed. I don't know what happened. He was delayed. So he comes in. By the time he comes in, everything was already done in motion. So if he would have to go throw everything in the garbage, it would be a very big hefset. So the guy says, "No, I had one of the kids turn on the fire." Who turned on the fire? So he had to identify. I was one turned on the fire. Okay. So this is something which is
You raised the hand.
What? Yeah, I'm the one who turned it on. So, That's why we're here today. What?
Sephardim, it seems more.
Why is it more?
The heter from the Ramah doesn't go by Sephardim.
What do you mean?
I was Mishgiach at a restaurant at one time.
Yeah.
And whenever a Sephardi would come, they would call me.
Yeah.
I had to go and not only turn on the fire, which I did in the beginning, the fire.
But the actual...
I had to go put
the food on the flame.
On the flame and give it a little shock.
Right, a little shock. That should be a chelik of the actual bishul itself. It's not just enough to turn on the fire. In a chanami. Okay, let's go further. Let's finish up over here. We have this halacha. We're almost finished. Okay, let's see over here. Halacha, your last halacha. Okay, this is a general halacha. This is not necessarily related to laws of refuah. It's a general halacha. Mi shereitzim la. That's why the sim is called is after to do an aveira against one's will. Mi shereitzim le'enois oisoi sheyavor aveira lefi shah. A person, a group of people, goyim, want to force a person to do an aveira. Lefi shah, one time aveira. Afilu ki aveira chamur, even a very serious aveira. And you find out about it. You're sitting here in Brooklyn, you find out that in New Jersey, one of your long lost relatives or your friend, a student, is about to do an aveira. He's going to be Mechal Shabbos, or he's going to go eat non kosher, or he's going to do who knows what. And you find out about this on Shabbos. Someone tells you, do you know that you have a student, you have a friend that's in New Jersey today? That are you allowed to get into a car and go to New Jersey on Shabbos to prevent him from doing an Aveira? And there are different types of Averas. There's Avodah Zarah, there's Gili Arayis, there can be Chil Shabbos, there can be Gezel. But you know, today he's going to rob a bank. He's going to rob a bank. He'll be incarcerated there for the next 50 years, be locked up. So you want to go save him on Shabbos. Are you allowed directly to get in the car, Michal Shabbos, to save someone else from trouble? So what are the parameters? They want to force a person. Now here the case is not, I didn't tell you the correct case, that's coming up soon. Here the person is being forced. The person is not doing that there on his own will. You find out that a person that you know is being forced against his will to do an Aveira, he would prefer not to do the Aveira, and you have the ability to save him. Lefi Shah, afilu hi avera chamura, ein mechal nolav Shabbos, kedei latzilu min avera. You don't save him because he's not responsible. When the person does the avera, he's not really guilty because he was forced to do the avera. And honest, so therefore, why should you be mechal Shabbos to save a person from doing something that's not really a violation of Shabbos? Aval imreitzim le'enos oiso lohamer esedas. There is one exception. If you know that they're going to convince him to go off the derech, he's in bad company. He'll become a mumar lo'loitzil mechal yisrael afilu who Katan oy ketana, then a chachiv who al kol mish beyodil l'shtadel atzilah afilu tzoch l'chal Shabbos beisur derais. An incredible chiddush. If you know that a person is going to be shmad on Shabbos, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos to save him. K'moshim mechuvim l'chal Shabbos v'shil achilu sheish v'sakana. The chassid it says the same principle. We started with this and we end with this. V'sham uvnei yishol se Shabbos or metore chalal of Shabbos achas kedei sheyishma Shabbosos harbei. V'afilu imchu sofikim toil hashtadlu soyoloi. Not true. I'm going to go there, try to save him. I'm not. Who says I'm going to succeed? It does matter. Mikomokam chayovin lechalal Shabbos lehashtadel b'chol ma'adi avsher. This is a very big issue. This is not a simple thing. This comes up in people that are involved in Kiruv, people involved with some children at risk, all these type of things. These childs come up all the time. What do you exactly do on Shabbos? Now here's the caveat. Misha Pasha, the person is doing on his own free will. No one's forcing him. No one's drawing him in. He has made a conscious decision to go, to leave the fold. Chas v'shalom. Nachman l'tzlan. So then, should you go and try to persuade him not to do so? That you know, he has free will. Avol misha posha. V'loitzel l'chamer. In mechadon lov to Shabbos. Bisu deraisa. That you can't do. Kevin, since the posha. Ein oimim la'odam chate, a new principle. You don't tell a person sin b'shvil sheyiske chavercha. Umikol makom, however, there's a chiddush, an iser derabbanan you can do. The iser derabbanan kagoyim lelachas chutz l'tchum ulurchev al gabei sus. Alilch Bagola, to go on a train in a car where you're not driving, someone's doing all everything for you. Bechein Letaltel Mos, to carry money, Chodome, Yesh Matidin, Lechalel, Beshul Hatzilai. This is Mutu, Lechalel, Beshul Hatzilai. This you can indeed do on Shabbos.
It's not today. Today we say everyone's discussion
Nishba. It's not so similar. Listen, yeah. I thought exactly like you thought until last night. I was listening to a tape by Rabbi Lieberman, the 10-minute halacha. Was it him? Or was it, I don't remember who it was. I don't remember. But it's not so similar. Everyone today is begeder tinik shenishba, especially in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, it's much more problematic. Because in Eretz Yisrael, everyone there knows what Shabbos is. They know what Shabbos is, so can you really? I think Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach was one of the biggest Oyavei Yisrael. If you read about him, you study him, it was unbelievable the love that he had for fellow Jew, and yet he was very hard on Bechal Shabbos and Eretz Yisrael. He held you can't just say they're a tinuk shenishba. They know what Shabbos is, they live in the country, they're very well aware, and they continue to choose to violate Shabbos. Can you use those people for a minyan? Can they be part of 10 people for a minyan? If they come into your house and they touch wine, yayin that's not mavushal, is the yayin automatically... So he seemed to be machmeh, he sees it's not so simple. It's not all simple, at least in Eretz Yisrael. In America, it's much easier, because in America, in Chanan, you can have people that really don't know from nothing. They really don't, they have no clue.
What about someone who was in a leftist kibbutz, grew up there?
They know from nothing. He said, Shlomo Zalman already said in his time, which was how many, 20, 30 years ago, that those type of people, that really you can say about them, they really don't know what's going on. They have no idea of what Shabbos is in the Medinas Yisrael. It's in the news every single day. They're fighting about closing this store and not closing this store, Tel Aviv and the train, public transportation.
If you're reading only the Alam Mishmar,
okay.
Talk about
it's not
they do, they talk about
it. You got to be living under a stone.
No, that's not true. For example, you go to Hebron. And one of the soldiers is watching Hebron.
Yeah.
And you ask him, who's buried here? He says, I don't know.
Being buried is a different league.
No. I told you it's a mode. You don't know what's going on.
All right, okay.
It'll be you.
He discussed this. The heter, he said, is that it's a psychological tinuk shenishba. It doesn't mean, what are the parameters of tinuk shenishba? It's a very vague area. It's a gray area of halacha. What is a tinuk shenishba? Does it mean... You mean you don't know what Shabbos is, but if you know what Shabbos is, you're automatically out, or is it a mindset? I know what Shabbos is, but I have no shaykhis to Shabbos.
You're either shaykh, if you forgot today was Shabbos, or you didn't know it's a malacha that's usher, it's a shaykh, right?
Yeah.
So this guy
is kibbutz, much
he knows that you're not allowed to light a fire on Shabbos? Sure,
no!
He just knows that these,
what do I know?
These primitive...
You don't have to know the details... You don't have to know, that's not what it is. You don't have to know the details. You have to just know to be observant to some degree.
No, but...
There are people that are completely non-observant. We're talking about people with nothing. There are some who he claims they make Kiddush. Or Shabbos, they sit, that's all they do, Shabbos. He says it's very common. That Friday night...
The family sits together and he takes up a bottle of wine.
They have Friday night dinner. And they say a prayer. That is Shabbos. So that already, that's already Madrega. You can keep those who become part of the minion, those people on a whole new Madrega. We're talking about people that observe absolutely nothing. Saturday is no different than Tuesday and Monday. It's
the
same thing.
And
they come into a minion. Can we use you for a minion? So the question is, do the average Israeli inside who in this category that is completely not observant, does he know what Shabbos is? Does everyone in the newspaper know what a Haredi is? Especially last year with the draft and the whole ugly hoax. They know what a Haredi is. They know there's something called Shabbos. That's for them. And I'm not part of this. I don't want to know from it. I'm Jewish and I reject it. It's a very tough call. He does not machriya. He's noted to be machmir that you can't call people today in Eretz Yisrael a full-fledged tinuk shenishba. That's what he's. I'm not making this up. You can't call. But the only tzad to be makel is that you have to look into their mind. In their mind is they're held. They're captive in their own mind. I'm so rachuk from this lifestyle. It's just not that I reject it. It's just not for me. I never was brought up with a chinuch that I have a part of this.
You know, the first time I met an Israeli with the name Omri, I didn't know.
Doesn't mean Nimrod. It doesn't mean anything. So the name is Nimrod. Big deal.
So when you go, when you have a Lubavitch, you're putting on tefillin.
Yeah,
like
you're trying to bring him in. Yeah. So,
and he says, "Oh, I'll put on tefillin. Could you be a mitzvah of them to a minion?"
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe the truth on the spell.
Yeah, that's right. That's a different category.
Anybody who goes by and says to you,
I want you for a minion.
If he's willing to stand for a 10, I have a problem with the front guys. That the front guys are saying, I need two guys for a minion. And two guys walk by and say, I don't have time for your minion now. That's horrible.
But then you can't call someone the 10 man. A man walking by.
All right. I don't know the answer. Let's finish up over here. So this is the reality. So he says that there is one exception: a person who is an anus, b'diavad you can do an issur d'rabbanan. Issur d'rabbanan to save a person. This principle, this is a very important. You saw the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch says this is very big chiddush. This that we have a principle: ein oimim loyal adam chatei b'shvil sheyischa chavercha is only on a d'raisa. He says it's a tremendous chiddush. But when it comes to an issur d'rabbanan, you can. It comes. You can tell a person, I want you to be over an issur d'rabbanan in order to save a person from an issur d'raisa, especially an issur d'raisa that's chamor. He says you can do. You say chatei. Exactly what it says. I'm not making this up. Avol misha posh v'otzel la'olam ein mechal lav Shabbos. Because the rice is kevin the posh ein amul chatei b'shul shi'ch chavercha. Umikol makom, we do say oimim lo'adam chatei b'shul shi'ch chavercha when it comes to Rabbanon. Umikol makom, this is the Rabbanon. Then we can tell, okay, to carry money where it's not a rishos harabim, or to go and travel on a train, all these things. Today it's getting easier and easier to avoid the rices because everything is digital and everything is there are all these new techniques. Let's just see the last verse of Allah on the bottom. We're finished. Ein mechan olav v'shabbos ein b'shud maharash be'isha shenilkach b'no letzava to the army v'nasa b'shabbos l'shtadol ha'tzilosh. He was drafted and she wants to save him from the draft. We're dealing over here by the goyim. She wants to go b'shadol shtadol ha'tzilosh also b'yada k'sav v'also b'yada. And she succeeded.
Kosav Sham.
It's not just one Avera. It's a series of multiple Averas. By being drafted, he's done for who knows how long. One time to save someone else from multiple yisurim is another exception. Oimim loy lodem chatei b'shvil sheyischa chavercha not to do multiple averus. Pamachas kli latil b'vahacha odif tveidus better that he's severish v'chashu the mitzvah ka'avdi. She also thinks she's doing a mitzvah in this situation. Bikuch nefesh. The thing she said v'alkein eina kimechalas Shabbos ve'ina tzricha kapara. Not only is not mechal Shabbos, she doesn't need kapara for what she has done. Ayin sham u'mashma mishom de lachatchila lo test. But if she does so, he at least throws out this concept that it is a difference. So therefore you have the same thing today. The Rachmanos of the person, you know, they're hanging out on Shabbos in the place where they should not be. That can be a slippery slope to something that can lead to a whole new lifestyle. And indeed there are definitely stories that Rabbanim have advised parents to go save your child in Chal Shabbos, to go...
Especially in Eretz Yisrael, when you have a woman with an Arab family, the best time is when they don't suspect. You come in on a Shabbos, take the whole family out.
You drive in on Shabbos with your van and you pull them out.
Extraction
service. And in Chanami, there are... What's the lamdis? There are exceptions. Yep. First of all, by a derabbanon, you can do it. And the second thing is, when you're dealing with multiple averos, that's different. Okay, we'll stop here, take a short break.